Fischer commands our class sharing. So today is Thursday, 8th of July, 2021. We will be continuing from this book, The Essence of Infinite Meaning, Teachings from the Adapted Verses of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, Wu Liang Yi Jing. So we are at page 298, last paragraph. So we are off the light, and as usual, you shall have your half an hour of awareness-based meditation. Maybe tonight I will explain a bit more on this awareness-based meditation, because there may be some who join us late and may not have the full scope of understanding of what sati is. According to Lord Buddha, sati is the Pali word for mindfulness, where Buddhists usually translate. So this term mindfulness or sati is seldom clearly understood. So a lot of people assume they know what this thing is, but very few people can define and understand it. Whatever they define is according to what they believe to be sati. So I like to make use of this today's condition to explain this one more time, so that Kayamita can have clear understanding of what sati is. Always remember, sati is awareness before the knowing. How do we know things? We know things through the perception aggregate. When we recall from memory, we perceive, then we come to know that thing. Either we label it or we name it. So awareness before the knowing means before you label it, before you really create the perception through your memory. So it's just aware before the knowing, before the perception. So if you understand this definition, then you will understand why we call this meditation, as taught by the Buddha, is awareness-based meditation. Because when it comes to purification of mind, he always uses sati. He never uses thought. He never uses effort. Everything is about mindfulness, the four foundations of mindfulness. Whereas the four right effort, they are still thought-based, thought-related. Then the initial training means to develop the understanding of the teaching, pariyatti. There is some form of thought, knowledge involved, where you read it up, or you listen to Dhamma, you try to get an understanding, then later on, you may like digest it, then try to use whatever knowledge you have to understand it and interpret it. That's how normal people develop the cultivation. And this one, sadly, can lead to thought-based meditation, because most people, before they have the Dhamma training, the enlightenment or the awakening, they only know that there is one mind, the mundane mind, the thinking mind, that living being always give rise to, not knowing that there is another mind which is beyond the thought process. There is a true mind. When thought ceases, that true nature, that true mind arises. So awareness-based meditation is to train ourselves to realize this true mind, this silent mind. Silent means without thought, without chattering, verbalization. Not just don't talk. Don't talk is not the real complete understanding of silence, that one is quiet. A quiet mind may not be silent, because inside there, it will try to create a lot of dialogue, chattering, mental movement. So such a mind is not a silent mind. Such a mind is heedless. Such a mind thinks a lot. That's a sankhara activity. They move. They keep on arising. Why? Because according to Lord Buddha, the dwelling of Paticchasamuppada teaching, when you have ignorance, avijja, it will create sankhara. You have avijja, paccaya sankhara. Wanting to know, wanting to understand or experience, you think. So thinking is making contact with the brain. Then because we have a consciousness and the senses, so when we make contact, it triggers off the respective consciousness to arise. So at the moment of arising of consciousness, the Buddha normally say, in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness, no one to see. Ah, that is the pure awareness before the knowing, before the thought come in, the content of consciousness come in, before the egoic mind surface. So when you understand this, then meditation becomes easy. Means that pure consciousness without the content, that pure awareness before the mind perceive and input the content before the arising of thought. When thought arise, thinking arise, sankhara arise. So before the aggregate of mind surface, that is the pure mind, the pure consciousness or awareness. So sati is the pure consciousness before the content goes in. So with this understanding, maybe it will enable you to understand what awareness-based meditation is all about. Like the word say, awareness-based. We are going to train ourselves using this understanding that to be aware is not to think, because sati is awareness before the knowing, before the thinking, before the arising of the aggregate of mind. That's why we just relax body and mind, be at ease, let things be. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything. Every moment of knowing is thinking, thought process. Every moment of doing is the thought trying to meditate, trying to do. How can you be aware when thought is active? So awareness-based meditation is just relax, silence everything, and let things be. Then maintain the awareness. Whatever arises, just aware. Whatever arises, just aware. And through this training, the heedless thinking mind, the mundane mind that is still in activity, they will slowly, slowly slow down. Because your training is to just develop awareness, not involving yourself in any of the doing or creating thought, the knowing. As I say, don't try to know, don't try to do, just relax. Maintain awareness and stabilize the awareness. So you have to be very patient initially, have the understanding and the faith to do. Just follow the instruction. Relax. Are you relaxed? Relax into every mind state that arises. If there's any tension, any tightness or any stress within any part of your body, just relax into it. And let things be silent. then maintain the awareness nature within whatever that arises. Can be a thought, can be a contact, perception, or whatever. Just aware, finish. Aware, finish. Don't go and follow it. Don't go and allow the thought to proliferate. Otherwise, the sankhara will come in, thinking will come in. Then how can you be aware? That's why to be aware, to be in sati, is to just silence your mind without thought and maintain the awareness until suddenly, after maybe depending on the individual, after a while, 5-10 minutes, some people need half an hour or maybe 45 minutes for the thinking mind or the mundane mind to slow down and suddenly become very quiet and still. Now, when you realize that, that is the beginning of understanding what awareness is, then there is the beginning of meditation to realize that true mind, that silent mind, and that true mind is an awareness nature within. No word, nothing. It's just a nature. It's just aware. That's why you cannot talk about it. You cannot describe it. Because it's just that pure awareness before the thinking, before the aggregate of mind and all the movement of thought process. So this is awareness-based meditation. So with this, I hope it can help. Because today there were conditions for me to reflect how come people find it so difficult to understand what this awareness-based meditation is all about. Okay, so the four support, remember, relax, maintain awareness. Actually, awareness, maintaining the awareness is the second step, just aware. And the third step is stabilizing the awareness. If you are able to be aware for as long as you can, this awareness nature will stabilize. Then you will come to understand what that silent mind is, what that true mind is. Then from that silence, a lot of things can arise. All of your thinking, your thought, your emotion, your mundane activity, it arises from there. That is what meditation is all about. Then when you understand that thing through direct realization, because you have realized the silent mind, then you will know why the Buddha said mind is the forerunner of all things. Then why all this that arise are mind make, and why they are dependent originating. Because without condition, nothing arises. Everything arises dependent on causes and conditions. So that silent mind that can be aware and observe all this will understand. That's why it's not about using the thought and the knowledge to become enlightened. No. It's the awareness that is aware that develops the understanding, the unfolding of truth. Then you will come to know who are you, what are you, what is this fine aggregate of form and mind all about. What is this true mind all about? What is this mundane mind or thought process all about? So this is real meditation. Okay, so relax, maintain awareness, stabilize it. Last one is trust. For those who know how to do, just trust your nature to meditate. So don't arise any thought. Don't go and focus, concentrate, and direct anything. Just away. Let the awareness stabilize. Okay. Then try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner awareness, and inner silence that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the mind state that you need to use to live life and to develop the training of daily mindfulness. Mindfulness in the midst of life, leading to heedful living. Unless you are heedful throughout the day, you don't stand a chance to awaken, to become enlightened. Because according to Lord Buddha, heedfulness is the path to the deathless, and the heedful never die. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. So it's pretty obvious. Unless you can train your mind to be mindful, ever mindful, leading to heedfulness, you will not be able to understand his teaching, and you will not be able to develop the wisdom to awaken or to become enlightened. When the Buddha mentioned the heedless are as if dead, it means you are not physically dead, but spiritually dead. Means the spiritual liberation from birth and death, you don't stand a chance. That's why you need to be heedful. To be heedful is to be ever mindful, constantly meditating, following the Dhammapada verse 23. And just maintain some form of attention, and we will continue from where we stopped. We are at page 298 of this book, The Essence of Infinite Meaning, the last paragraph, the new adapted verse. The Buddha observed the sharp and dull natures of sentient beings' capability, understood the profound and wondrous dwellings of cyclical existence, and investigated the causes to find that they are limitless. He expounded unobstructed wisdom, forever transcended fetters and attachment, and accumulated that merits and virtues, all without seeking anything in return. So this is a very beautiful adapted verse. You can understand. It will give you a lot of understanding and wisdom. Okay, we move on to the commentaries. The Buddha observed that sentient beings' capabilities vary greatly, because everyone is different. Those with sharp capabilities, they can realize 1,000 Dhamma from hearing just one. While those with dull capacity will be unable to realize one even after having heard 1,000 times. So that is the two extremes. For example, solitary realizer. So this one is, they call it in the Theravada tradition, solitary Buddha or the silent Buddha, Pacheka Buddha. So here, under the Mahayana tradition, they call it a solitary realizer. They are born in the time when there is no Buddha. Actually, it should be no Buddha Sasana. Not necessarily no Buddha. Because right now we don't have a Sammasambuddha, but there is the Buddha Sasana, means the teaching is there. So even though Sakyamuni may exist 2600 years ago, and we may not be with him, but the teaching is still around. So this is the period of the Sasana of Sakyamuni Buddha. So Sasana means the period where his teaching is still around. It seems according to Sakyamuni Buddha, the teaching will last for 5,000 years. Means this sasana will be for 5,000 years. Based on his understanding and the way he actually arises it. Then at one stage, they requested the ordination for the bhikkhunis. Initially, Sakyamuni Buddha was quite reluctant, because he knew, as a Sammasambuddha, he has seen many world cycles. So whenever they introduced the bhikkhuni order, the ordination, it will lead to a situation where the sasana will be shortened by 500 years. So 500 years out of 5,000 is about 10%. And that is very precious, 500 years of sasana. So the Buddha was very reluctant initially, but because of causes and conditions, and after much reasoning of persuasion by various people, including Ananda, the Buddha consented, because the one that requests was actually the mother's sister who actually raised him when he was young. And because of that, he agreed, and the Bhikkhuni order was established. So basing on what the Buddha knew, if that is true, means our sasana is only 4,500 years. And now we have already passed 2006, which means we have left with only 1,900 years, less than 2,000. So do make use of this condition. But through contact with their surrounding, they realize the 12 links of cyclical existence, the Paticca-samuppada teaching, and awaken to the principle of true emptiness. So these are the special beings. Even without the Buddha's asana, without the Dhamma in the world, they can realize it themselves. That's why they are called solitary realizer. It's on their own they realize. And this, according to the Theravada tradition, they are called the conditioned arising enlightened ones. And Mahayana also have a term for it. Yan Xiao means based on condition they arise. They awaken not to the Four Noble Truths. They awaken through the 12 link, the Paticca Samuppada. That's why it's called solitary Buddha or Pacheka Buddha or silent Buddha. So this part we have to understand through their observation of nature and their own home and mind. They realize the Paticca Samuppada or the 12 link, how their mind actually functions, how existence comes to be, and awaken to the principle of true emptiness. This shows that the Dhamma is always present. It does not come into existence only after a Buddha has arisen. Like I used to share with you all, the Buddha also told the disciple at that time, this Dhamma was discovered by me. It was there before my arising. Well, what is Dhamma? Dhamma is true. Nature is true. They enable you to understand life and existing. There are three kinds of karmic condition under which solitary realizer can achieve awakening, which differ in the length of time required. Some of these practitioners need three lifetimes, past, present, and future, to understand the dwelling of cyclical existence. Some only need two lifetimes, past and present, or present and future, while those with the greatest wisdom can comprehend them in an instant. They can realize the dwelling of cyclical existence in a single thought. So these are the wise ones, exceptional ones, means they have cultivated before in the past, and their nature will understand this law very easily. The dwelling of cyclical existence does not merely explain the connection between past, present, and future lives. Actually, we go through the 12 links of cyclical existence every day. Now, she explained the correct one. It's not the three period of time one, every moment, every instant one. I often say an ignorant thought gives rise to the three subtleties. Once ignorance arises in our mind, we begin to create negative karma with our action. From birth to old age, sickness and death, every action of every day is inseparable from the dwellings of cyclical existence. Doing good deeds give rise to positive karmic condition, while committing evil or wrong deeds or wrongdoing give rise to negative karmic condition. This all begins with avijja or ignorance, giving rise to volitional formation, it gives rise to consciousness, demand form, etc. in a continuous cycle until old age and death. This is the cause of life. What is causing all the suffering and disaster in the world? If we investigate the ultimate causes, what is it that leads us to transmigration of the or within the sixth rhyme, Liu Tao Lun Hui, Samsara? In fact, this whole cycle originates from one ignorant thought, avijja. Nothing follows us when we die except our karma. We have brought the karma created in our past life with us into this life, and the karma we create in this life will follow us into the next life. If we carefully analyze the dwelling of cyclical existence, we find that they ultimately originate from our daily life, which is very true. But I need to explain here a little bit, otherwise you get confused. Because in the beginning of this paragraph, it is mentioned we have brought past karma created in our past life. Yes, we bring along that karma. No, actually that karmic from past life, they are all accumulated in our karmic nature. There's a nature that records all this and evolve into the individual unique karmic nature. Every one of us, every being has a karmic nature which is very unique. So this karmic nature is the one that is responsible for the arising of the former man or future birth. For the living things to enable them to have a form and a mind or a vehicle and a tool to come to this existential world, the condition arising world. So when you understand this, then you will know when the form and mind arise, that form and mind is karmically conditional, a vehicle and a tool for you to come and to use, to experience life, to go through life, to go through all the karmic, etc. And this form and mind is subject to karma. That's why after that, every moment, every instant, when you arise your thought with the appropriate chitena or mental intention, the moral causation takes place. Is present life karma take place. So this present life karma, they are also recorded in our karmic nature. So it's not like what is written here, is it? The karma we create in this life will follow us into our next life. It's not like that. It's all, every moment, every instant recorded. Then, of course, when you are born into the next life, you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma, and you are what you are because of your karma, as explained by Sakyamuni Buddha. So all these are very clear. Then I will read on so that you understand. The affliction that people give rise to in their interaction with others are truly limitless. Yeah, very true. So for our sake, the Buddha expounded unobstructed wisdom, forever transcended fetters and attachment. Do you understand what are fetters? Fetters are those that chain you to the cyclical world or samsara. So the Buddha called it the 10 fetters. There are 10 fetters that actually fetter living beings. Yeah. So that 10 fetters are very powerful. Not until you can develop the wisdom to awaken and to break free, you will have to continue the cycle of birth and death. Okay, then I read on. By helping us to understand the dwelling of cyclical existence, he hoped for us to give rise to hearer wisdom. And this one, hearer, means they call it the sound hearer, or what they term natural wisdom, and the fourfold unobstructed wisdom. Yes, the sainthood way, there are four types of sainthood, to completely eliminate affliction from our mind. So this one refer to the sound hearer, those who awaken through hearing the Dhamma, as expounded by the Buddha. That's why they call it sound hearer. In Mahayana or Mandarin, they call it Senwen. If we can unlock our wisdom and understand the source of our affliction, so affliction is like suffering, the cause of arising of suffering. So if you can understand what suffering is and the cause of its arising, then you can cease it. Then you will know how to develop the understanding to cease it. That's what the Four Noble Truths is. You will find that in our daily living, even the sound of birds chirping and insect buzzing are teaching us the Dhamma. And this is very true, because when you silence your mind to develop the inner awareness, to be aware of nature, to be aware of what is going on within your form and mind, you develop understanding. That's why here the author also explained the same. When you are able to unlock the wisdom and understand the source of our affliction, we will find that our daily living or daily life activity, that may include anything, sound of chirping birds or birds chirping and insect buzzing, are teaching us the Dhamma, where everything is Dhamma. Where within nature, everything is truth. Truth is the reality. Whatever that can explain the way things are is the truth. That's why there is Dhamma everywhere in the midst of life and nature. In the same way, I treat each word spoken by our recycling volunteer as the Dhamma. For example, there was an elderly woman who volunteered to do recycling every day. The other recycling volunteer all call her number one, because rain or shine, she would always be the one or the first one to arrive each morning. When there was strong wind and heavy rain, others might not come, but she would still be there. Before she began volunteering, this elderly lady has been diagnosed with breast cancer. Before she underwent surgery, the doctor told her that her prognosis did not look good and said, if you have the surgery, you might live another 5 years. She thought, if I can live 5 more years, there is a bonus. So she decided to have the surgery because her cancer had entered stage 3. She also had to go through chemotherapy. When it was also discovered that she had liver cancer and diabetic, she fell into deep despair. Another volunteer learned about this elderly woman's situation, facing unbearable pain and suffering from illness upon illness. Therefore, he invited her to volunteer as one of Tsuji's recycling stations. This was 5 years ago. He was hoping that the spiritual practice of doing recycling work would help reduce her pain. After devoting herself to being a recycling volunteer, she stopped worrying about her illness and began to feel better. As she continued to do recycling every day, she gradually awakened her wisdom and developed her own philosophy of life, means understanding. of life. When people would ask her, "Are you tired?" she would answer, "I'm not tired. If I stay at home and sleep every day, I get more afraid and more worried. I don't want to just lie down in bed and scare myself to death. I feel very happy that I can come out to do recycling every day." So you change your perception, you can change your life, because doing recycling work or wholesome activity is very wholesome. There is a lot of joy. You do it with understanding and sincerity. It can pave the way for you to have a good mind, good karma or karmic condition, and it can heal many things. So all this can help. That's why she lived beyond the 5 years. Originally, she and her husband did not communicate very effectively with each other, since one speaks Taiwanese and the other speaks Mandarin. After her husband had a stroke, she not only managed to take care of him, she also managed to keep doing recycling, her recycling work. She said, "How can I give it up? I'm so happy when I do recycling work, everyone." Her husband also called her number one, and she would laugh and say, "He calls me number one because I got cancer first, while he had a stroke later. So he is number two. But who will be number one in dying? No one knows. So I go out to do recycling every day and live a happy life, a happy and joyful life." This shows the depth of her wisdom. That's why instead of complaining, developing negativity of mind state or thought process with all the evil roots, then project your thought and create the unnecessary fear, worry, and anxiety. All these are delusion, heedless living. And you do that, you stress up faster. You will die earlier because there is no joy. There is no mindfulness or awareness. If you do recycling work, you have joy. You develop training of mindfulness, awareness, and you are constantly with the Dhamma. The people who do the recycling with you, they are Tsuji members, they are Bodhisattvas. They have the Dhamma. So all this will help. When this elderly volunteer shared this word, she is truly expounding the Dhamma for us. Her story can lead us to a kind of realization. A woman with multiple cancer who also carries the heavy burden of caring for a stroke patient can still, through giving, be liberated from fetters and attachment and attain freedom and peace. So this is a very good, what they call a real life example for people to develop faith and understanding. So we all must accumulate merits and virtue without seeking anything in return. Inwardly, being humble and taking care of our own mind are merits. Outwardly, being courteous, kind and gentle to others, and benefiting humanity are virtues. If we can develop our wisdom and use it to benefit people, we are accumulating merits and virtue. Of course, as we accumulate merits and virtue, we do not seek anything in return. We do not ask for anything in exchange for our giving. This is like something, this elderly volunteer said. If something is meaningful, just do it. Do not doubt. Do not think of return. Although she was suffering from multiple illness, she still happily volunteered to do recycling work. She was able to fully make use of her body's ability and was not bound by illness or affliction. Every one of us has an inner Tathagata nature. but it is bound by the fetters of affliction and is unable to shine forth or manifest. Therefore, we are all Tathagatas trapped in fetters or inborn. Eh? We read the note 43. Tathagata inborn, the meaning is, this refers to how all sentient beings innately have Buddha nature, but are all fettered by defilement. Yeah. Our mind determines the direction of our thinking. If we can just change our thinking or perception so that we no longer react to our surrounding with afflictions and resentment, but instead use them to develop our wisdom, then we can easily attain liberation. Listening to teaching brings joy. This is very true. When you listen to the Dhamma, we begin to apply them to our heart. We put the teaching into practice to verify their usefulness. When the Dhamma flows into our heart, we feel subtle and wondrous happiness. This is very true. You can cultivate until you can feel it at your heart. Means you are quite an advanced cultivator. Because all cultivation finally reach the heart. Because you develop the ability to be at the heart. This is where the seat of consciousness is. This is where the gateway to your nature is. This is where your life force arises and passes away. And this is the most important region within your human body. So all cultivator will be very familiar with the heart. So I read on. When the Dhamma flows into our heart, we feel subtle and wondrous happiness. That's why the teaching, finally, when you develop the awakening and understanding, it come out from that nature, straight from the heart, it arises. You don't have to remember anything. You don't have to store it in the memory. I used to share the Dhamma, the wisdom, the understanding is, if you have, means you have. You don't have to worry about, you may forget and you try to commit to memory. No need. Because these are wisdom that you have, your nature has awakened to. It will be with you. This form and mind. This life, all the time. So, whatever understanding that arises, you don't have to try to commit it to memory. Otherwise, you will be trapped in thought. Then get yourself entangled again. Because you try to revert back to thought. So, Dhamma is such, wisdom is such, that I used to explain, Yoniso Manasikara, or wisdom at the moment of sense experience. You have means you have. You cannot, like, before you have, you want to arise it. You can't. Without that Yoniso Manasikara, or wisdom developed before that, it cannot prompt you. It cannot surface and prompt you. You need to cultivate and realize it first, or awaken to it first. So this is the beauty of that teaching. So when the Dhamma flow into your heart, we feel subtle and wondrous happiness. So the heart is where all cultivators will understand. Dhamma joy wells up inside us, and we will be peaceful and at ease. This is a very good description, because the characteristics of enlightened being is always this. They are always peaceful, tranquil, and always at ease. No stress, nothing. The Buddha's grace is immense. The flowers of our hearts, the fragrance of our virtue, and our upholding, purifying precepts with great reverence, are the most wondrous offering. This is very true. Huh? So, the flowers of our hearts. So this one is not referring to the normal flower you offer at the altar. The flower of our heart means when you are able to cultivate until you reach the heart will open up like flowering. When it flowers, the understanding becomes very beautiful. So the flower of our heart, the fragrance of our virtue, that's why we used to chant, may this fragrance of the incense that we offer to the Buddha be derived as an analogy of our virtue. And when we truly keep virtue, it will be like the incense. You can smell it in all directions because these are real fragrance. But if you don't have the cultivation, you don't have the true virtue. That's why I always say, without real wisdom, without the arising of wisdom, there can be no real virtue. All the virtue is according to the individual, the thought process, so not much meaning. So the flower of our heart, the fragrance of our virtue, and our upholding, purifying precepts with great reverence are the most wondrous offering. So if you keep your precept well, upholding it, purifying precepts are very powerful. When you keep precept, it's very meritorious, very, very virtuous. That's why your precept can actually bring forth the way. Everything needs sila. The cultivation needs sila. That's why the Buddha said, you start with sila, then only samadhi kicks in. Then with sila and samadhi, wisdom comes about. So sila, samadhi, and panya, wisdom, are all in that order. Then when you can pay respect with humility and understanding, with great reverence, they are the most wondrous offering that a cultivator can develop. After the Buddha expounded the Dhamma for more than 40 years, he set aside skillful means to directly teach the true Dhamma. In expounding the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, he began teaching the practice of the true Dhamma. The true Dhamma is guarded and retained by all Buddhas, whether they are past, present, or future Buddhas. They all protect this teaching. All Buddhas' mind contain the Lotus Sutra. Therefore, no Maras or heretic can gain entrance. No heretics can breach the Buddha's true principle. Thus, when a Buddha expounds the Dhamma, it is called the lion's roar, as the lion is the king of all the beings in the forest. When he roars, other beasts or animals hide in fear. Also, it is great sound, even the ground shakes and all the animals awaken. When the Buddha first attained enlightenment, he wanted to share with everyone his original state of mind, the Avatamsaka state. However, even heavenly beings cannot understand it. Thus, there was a time when the Buddha thought that if he could not benefit the world after his enlightenment, he would rather enter Parinibbana. At that time, all the Buddhas of the 10 directions appeared before Sakyamuni to comfort him. They explained that since the world must wait countless tapas for a Sammasambuddha to arise or appear after his enlightenment, he should work hard to help sentient beings and widely spread the teaching. Although the Dhamma is very profound and wondrous, sentient beings' capacities are all different. So he still had to find ways to establish skillful means and open doors to the Dhamma that they can enter into. So out of his great compassion, the Buddha taught skillful means to transform sentient beings. Over more than 40 years of teaching, going from the Agama to the Vaipulya to the Prajna period, he gradually guided sentient beings to attain realization on this path. However, his time on earth was limited. while the space he had covered and the number of sentient beings he needed to transform was infinite. Therefore, the Buddha had no choice but to set aside skillful means for direct teaching and expounded the true Dharma so that everyone can enter the middle path. As the opening sutra for the Lotus Sutra, the Sutra of Infinite Meaning lay out the middle path. It teaches that there is a wondrous existence within emptiness, and through emptiness within wondrous existence. This is also from the Heart Sutra. This is to encourage people to understand the beauty of life and existence. That's why to go the Bodhisattva way. This is the Dhamma that is true in words and principles. Up to the time that the Buddha was about to enter Parinibbana, he still worried about whether all sentient beings would be able to comprehend the truth of the Buddha Dharma. He was also worried that some followers, because they did not understand the teaching, the Dhamma, would allow their action to become improper. This would discredit the Buddha Dharma and cause people to have a biased view of it. The right Dhamma cannot be penetrated or destroyed by heretics or Mara, but it could be destroyed by the self-proclaimed Buddhists. This is very true, self-proclaimed Buddhists. This is like saying the lion's parasites eat the lion's flesh. None of the other animals pose any threat to the lion, but the lion's flesh can be eaten by the parasite living in his body. This is an analogy for how only Buddhists themselves can destroy the Buddha Dharma. I think this is very true. In fact, you look at all professions, all societies, all country, all political system, they have their own share of black sheep within their profession. There are always some of these black sheep that is capable of destroying the professional ethics and professionalism of their career or profession. So here the analogy is only Buddhists themselves can destroy the Buddha Dharma is very true, because only you yourself argue among yourself and destroy the true Buddhist teaching. For those who know, who has awakened, there is no argument. Everything is very clear. But the problem is, before you develop the understanding, there is bound to be a lot of controversy, a lot of misunderstanding, a lot of division among the devotees, practitioners. And that is the way of delusion, the way of thought divine, through what? Through words, through concept. That's why they come out with methods and techniques and teachers. Then it divine. Then they call different teaching by different name. Actually, they are the same Dhamma, but they cling on to method and technique and call this technique, this teaching, this teacher's way of meditation is the true path. This is vipassana. This is samatha. This is samadhi. This is jhana. So all these are very confusing when you don't have the clear understanding. So be watchful of this. Be mindful before you have the awakening and understanding. Refrain from arguing. Refrain from creating misunderstanding among the Buddhist community or practitioner. Have respect. Develop virtue, understanding, stay away from argument, division, and check your own ego, check your own evil roots, greed, hatred, and delusion, self-delusion especially. Then I read on, it is rare to be born human and be able to hear the Buddha Dharma. So this is a famous saying. Ren sheng nan de, fo fa nan wen. Ren sheng means human birth. human body, human birth. Then to hear the true Buddha Dharma is also very rare. Since we aspire to become Buddhist practitioner and have heard the Buddha Dharma, we must walk the right path and always apply the right Dharma in our daily life. From the chapter on expounding the Dharma, we can comprehend that the Buddha Dharma has always been applicable in our daily life, and Bodhisattvas were always meant to be part of this world. Bodhisattvas have always lived in this world, and the Buddha Dharma exists for the purpose of teaching sentient beings. So listen to teaching, bring joy. We begin by applying them to our heart. If we can take the Dhamma to heart, we can experience a state of joy. We can then go one step further and put the teaching into practice to verify their usefulness. We will be able to achieve deep comprehension of the Dhamma's truth. I often say we do not have permanent ownership of our life, only the right to use it. Even with this right, we still must use it, make use of it every second of every day in order to produce the result we want. This is like a machine that manufactures product. It must remain in operation without pause in order to complete the work. The same principle applies to spiritual practice. Although the Buddha has already pointed out this broad path, we have to walk the path ourselves in order to attain or realize anything. Thus, when the Dhamma flows into our heart, we feel subtle and wondrous happiness. This is what we mean when we say we are filled with Dhamma joy. Our hearts will be like the earth receiving the nourishing rain. Every seed can grow into a great Bodhi forest. Ordinary people's minds are arid, like the soil during a drought. Thus, the slightest disturbance will cause dust to fly and obscure the view. But if we always use Dhamma water to nourish our mind, and the dust will remain settled. By always maintaining the clarity of our mind, we will not be influenced or tempted by erroneous or deviant teachings. The Dhamma joy will well up inside us, and we will be peaceful and at ease. Dhamma joy is like a gushing spring, ceaselessly pouring out water from our heart. So this is a very good analogy. A passage towards the end of the chapter on expounding the Dhamma states, "This sutta is true in words and principle, and is supremely honored. It is safeguarded by all Buddhas of the three periods of time. No Maras or heretics can enter it, nor can it be corrupted by deviant views that perpetuate samsara. This illustrates how everyone joyfully received the great Dhamma and therefore give rise to unsurpassed Bodhicitta. Wishing to more deeply study and practice the unsurpassed great Bodhicitta Sutra of Infinite Meaning, the sutra text then describe what happened after the Buddha finished his teaching. This teaching. After the Buddha finished speaking this word, the great Trichilokism, what is that? I don't know. Oh, it's like a quick one. Huh? Quack in six different directions. The Buddha's mind pervade the entire Dhammarang, and everywhere celestial flowers fall like rain. Clearly, this Dhamma powerfully shakes human mind, or living sentient beings' mind. The flowers are an analogy of the state of joy in everyone's mind. It was as if everyone's heart were filled with blossom flower. There were Upala, Kumuda, Pandarika, and many other kinds of flower. So we read the notes. Oh, different variety of lotus flower. Okay. This is describing a beautiful state that came into being as an offering to the Buddha. The Buddha's grace is immense. So how do we repay the Buddha's grace? With the flower of our heart and the fragrance of our virtue, the best way to repay His grace is to work hard on cultivating our own mind, devote ourselves to help others, and use the flower of our hearts and the fragrance of our virtue as offering. Thus, we say that this, along with our upholding of purifying precept with great reverence, are the most wondrous offering we can make to Him. If we can treat people with reverence in everything that we do and cherish the world and all the things in Him, this is our greatest offering we can make to repay the Buddha's grace. So this is very true. So actually, not only the Buddha, every teacher, they feel the same. They don't want anything from their disciples or the people who learn the teaching from them. They only want you to commit yourself sincerely with the faith and diligently walk this path to awaken. So if you are able to develop the understanding, that is the greatest gift you can give to your teacher, your guide, where they will rejoice. That this is what will help mankind, humanity. It will be a blessing to all. So this understanding is very beautiful. I think we end here. I will mark this page. Then we will open up for the more discussion. Christina?
Hello. So during this MCO, so everyone stay home. Stay safe. Work from home now.
Yeah, work from home.
Nothing much we can do.
Yes, also more time for cultivation. Make full use of that lockdown to actually develop the understanding of this teaching, then reflect on life and existence, like PJ. What he has gone through is very good. When you truly, sincerely reflect on all this, you will develop the urgency and the understanding. Okay, Christina, you can continue.
So actually nothing much. For me, I do register for some charity work in Suji in the system. At the vaccine center there.
Kepong there.
Yeah, Kepong.
The head office. Yeah, my brother and his family, they went there twice already. They have received 2 jabs. They came all the way from Penang. Well, they are also Suji members. So they register as volunteers, then they are able to manage to get this the opening when they announced this Suji as a new vaccine center. I think they contacted the Penang group and he registered. Then the whole family got it, including the daughter. The wife, the daughter.
It's very well organized.
Yeah, very well organized, he said.
The work schedule there, the system, so.
So the.
Yeah.
Suji is actually very good at all these things. They had the experience. And when they do, they really do. That's why recently the government also approached them to help to organize some charity event to really help, and they did it very well. Yun Chan sent the video for us to share. I think most of us saw it and we really rejoiced. You can continue, Christina.
So during the first two, the 2 times that I went over for the volunteers work, nothing much. So this time the lockdown was only a person can drive in. So I was just thinking, because I used to carpool with someone staying nearby Subang. So Yes, so I never think much. Tomorrow, actually, I'm going to help up. So suddenly yesterday, someone texted me, see whether I can help up in Sunway Center, not Sunway Hospital.
Oh, okay.
I also register over there, actually.
Oh,
so it's just a good opportunity for me. Nearby one is nearer.
Yeah, for you to actually offer your service, because yes. If you can do it, it will be very useful. It help a lot of people.
Yeah.
And these are very virtuous things, very wholesome things.
So I think it's all, in fact, if let's say I wanted to go to Kapong, there is a bit far, and then yes, how to say our duty there, actually one day we are serving about 700 over people, you know.
Yeah.
In a day.
Yeah.
We are full time over there.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's interesting. Like, we learn something new.
Yeah.
No doubt. People ask me, hey, how come during this time you still want to go out and serve? I say, maybe what I think is nothing much about something to fear of. La.
Yeah.
About our duty, our vow,
yes.
And what we have to do.
Yes. You will know what to do.
Yes.
Then you don't have to worry. Everything will go your way because of your sincerity. And your understanding, then you will know how to do your duty very well. Sounds very, very wholesome.
I think that's about all. Nothing much. And I'm very happy to serve. It's like more. No doubt we went there, it's quite early, we have to reach there by 7:30 we start, so by the time I travel, it's about 6:45 I need to travel out, and then by the time...
very early, yeah?
Yeah, we end our duty, reach home, is about 5 something.
Oh, yeah, so it's almost a whole day.
Yeah. But it's very happy to serve over there.
You have the understanding, there's a lot of joy. You can see how you can contribute and how people can be benefited by your understanding, your kindness, your gentleness, and your sincerity to do this work. So all this is a reflection of virtue in life, our cultivation. So unless you have the Dhamma understanding, you cannot do all this. Most people will have this funny thought telling them, "Ayo, why I so stupid? I had to wake up so early, had to go through all the risks." So if you think along that way, you will miss out on the Dhamma and the understanding. But if you reflect and contemplate like what you went through and your understanding, because it's your vow. It's also part and parcel of being a bodhisattva. So when you have that understanding, there are time for you to do this type of work. There are time for you to develop the cultivation and understanding. That's why I say everyone is different. Every phase is different. During the early years, I help out a lot too. In the early years of my cultivation, I help out at the tape library, the Sunday school, the temple, the Buddhist temple, and many other charity work and organization. Then this other thing we do, and we do with joy. Then after that, at the same time, I observe, I cultivate, I develop the Dhamma understanding, then I develop the understanding to have fellow piety towards my parents. Then I really develop a lot of understanding after that, for they gave me life. They were the one that actually gave us life, bring us to the world. Then they sacrifice so much for us, they care for us, they provide for us. And they are willing to go all out to make sure we are safe, protected, educated, and have a good life. So this type of love is very difficult to repay. As I to repay parents' love is not easy. And according to one of the Mahayana Sutta, the best way is to teach them the Dhamma, to let them understand the Dhamma. But if your parents already had the correct Dhamma, then it's easier because they will teach you and you can communicate with them and together develop the understanding and joy. Then after that, I remember I started to see the beauty of cultivation. And every time when I listen to Dhamma talk, when I attend all this wholesome activity, and I travel on spiritual trip, we do a lot of wholesomeness. Apart from attending Katina celebration, Dana, and making of all those offerings, paying respect, traveling, spiritual trip, developing the faith, the spiritual faculty, then developing understanding. So all this help a lot. So different time you do different things. Then later on, I realized the time has come, the condition is such. In the early years, I benefited from what people share and teach, and my guide and all those things. Then later on, when it's my time to share, to teach, I, without hesitation, when the condition is there, after Yun Chan came, my nature knew. That's why I volunteer to do it. And I will willingly come out and share. And despite knowing all this thing is not easy, because unless you are the real one, you are ready, you cannot share. So all this understanding was there. Then when I came out, since the year 2004, now it's already 16 or 17. And very far. That's why when your time comes, you will do your work. So different phase, you do your Dhamma duty differently. So like now, for your case, Christina and Aloha Kaimta, you all like to help out during Vesak, during ordinary time when there is such activity, when they want volunteer. So these are the work you should actually volunteer and do. Then when you have the understanding and the faith, you will progress. Then it will pave the way for a lot of wholesomeness. This is how you build up the understanding, the parami, and you expose yourself to a lot of things. You learn a lot of things without you knowing. You learn a lot of Dhamma, actually, a lot of reflection, contemplation. And when you are mindful, observant, you really learn a lot. Yes, everything is Dhamma. So this is very beautiful, simple thing like volunteer to help out and all these things. So always remember Dhamma practice, Dhamma cultivation. There are various phases, time for you to do things. Like now, our Kayamita, you can see different people playing different roles, different time. So when I just started, there's only a handful of them, and most of them don't know what this thing is. Until later on, when they start to volunteer, then they realize it turned out to be so beautiful. Like it started out with Mi Fong, Eng Bi, Sui An, then some Kayamita. Then later on, we managed to get a team who volunteer, like Brother Teo, Sister Pamasuri, and many other Kayamita, like Sister Gage, Jennifer, and many other Kayamita. Then later on, they help to organize retreats, spiritual trips, house dana, energy, and many other activities. In-house, do the website, everything. Then now we got the group for the short video and the transcript of courses. So all these are very wholesome. So different time you do different things. So for us, as Kayamita, my mission, this line is very different. I only do all those things during the initial years. to like go through the thing. Then after that, I know my mission is to share the teaching. That's why I move into that field. And that is the one that I can contribute. That's why Maitreya came and asked, make a sincere request, a very courteous and sincere request for my nature to share this understanding. 请你把正法传下去. Please spread or teach the true Dhamma to the world. So because of those conditions, that's why this line, my nature do a lot of this. And those Kayamita who were with me, they also partake in a lot of activity that brings forth the condition for this Dhamma to be available to the world through the website, through the transcript book, through the video, the short video, the Dhamma tape and all these things. And the various, what we call repository of Dhamma wealth within our website. So all these are very awesome. So different time, we do different things under different conditions. We play our role. Then every week we have our Dhamma session, which is also very wholesome, very beautiful. Then we invoke for sharing and all those things. Then we make our aspiration. Then we chant blessing for the nation. So a lot of all this are very wholesome. We contribute to world peace, to wholesomeness, and be a blessing to all in our own way, with our own understanding. And the wholesomeness that we generate is tremendous. With our Kayamita funds, we make offering, we make donation. We actually contribute in a big way, in the Dhamma way. So all these are very beautiful. So thank you so much, Christina, for sharing this topic, which create conditions for my nature to share more of this understanding. So as cultivator, do not underestimate small things that you do. You may think, ayo, why you want to trouble yourself to go and volunteer? Huh? You might still meditate, cultivate. It depends. If your nature is such and you know you are meant to do this, then you spend more time to cultivate and to meditate. But you have to contribute your part, play your role. You cannot always selfishly do your own thing, receive benefit from others' hard work and others' thing. Then on your own, you didn't contribute. Because to walk the Bodhisattva way is a two-way traffic. It's not only take, cultivate. No, it's to walk with understanding. There are time to share, to contribute. There are time to learn, to practice, to cultivate, and to partake in all this wholesomeness and activity. And it's through all this that you learn, you develop understanding, you are able to expand on your understanding. You're able to expose yourself to learn new things, you know, and to see new things. So these are very beautiful. Okay, good. Listen, you can nominate another person if you have time.
Actually, before I nominate another person, I like Brother Teo very much for the and teaching all these years. Honestly speaking, if let's say without following Brother Teo teaching, listening to all the profound Dhamma from Brother Teo, I will still be deluded and
heedless.
In a very suffering stage. In my life, what Brother Teo know my story.
I know your story.
Easy to come out, but I'm so thankful because I think thankful to my faith to Triple Gem and
also your good affinity
and all your the family members. I mean Mrs. Teo have some of my family members also much appreciation. I mean honestly speaking, without this Dharma to follow,
it's not easy.
For me to keep diligently walking the path, it's not easy.
Not easy, yeah.
for my way to come out, really.
Yeah.
I'm so very thankful. True. And also, when Brother Teo just now you mentioned about filial piety.
Yeah.
Teach the parents to guide them into Dharma. I hope that I have done this.
Yeah, you have done it for your mom.
Yes,
yeah.
I'm so thankful because
so beautiful.
During those years, I asked Brother Teo so many questions about make my mother at ease and happy.
Correct.
So she was so different when she was
totally changed.
Yeah. I am so grateful because of Brother Teo. My family members all know whenever I talk about anything about Dharma or Brother Teo. Any brother Dharma that I come out, Brother Teo.
Because they know.
So very happy to see.
Yeah, you have turned around and transformed yourself and show it to them how beautiful your character and your personality has become when you have the understanding of the Dhamma and you can take over your role to care for your mother, which surprised them all. And you look after your mother so well, and all your brothers and sisters, they see the big change. Well, before that, you went through traumatic life.
Yes.
You went through hell at that young age. Your whole family was in chaos, disaster. You turned around and actually came through. Initially, you were desperate. You like crazy. You went all out to look for help. Then luckily, you bumped into Suyan. Then he asked you, you better just take class. Brother Theo can help you. Then that was a turning point. And it all happened because of your affinity with Triple Gem, your past affinity and condition. Otherwise, you cannot receive this teaching. You cannot be what you are. So there are certain things that you did. Even that, like this line, after you know the Dhamma, you change and you become so beautiful and you have a lot of gratitude. Then you help other people. You bring other people to the faith and you help them out to actually let them understand, especially those who went through the first noble truth reality suffering. Then at the same time, you off and on, you keep on coming to my house, invite me for lunch, then make offering and all those things. All these are very wholesome. These are the affinity that we develop. And every of the sharing and lunch or whatever, even house dana, Dhamma activity, we share so much of the teaching. You learn so much. Then helping your friend, you also benefited. Yeah. You also listen to how I help them, how I counsel them and make them understand and change them. So all this are the causes and conditions for you to have future condition to continue to receive this type of Dhamma. It's just like this line. All these are very, very unique wholesomeness and affinity with my nature, with Triple Gem, with the great beings. Then when you join Suji, you create more understanding, affinity, and more exposure. So all this is going to pave the way for your future coming, your future birth condition to receive Dhamma and encounter Dhamma practitioner and true cultivators of the way. So despite what you went through this life in the early years, because condition is not ready for you to receive all this, so you need something to trigger. In fact, many people go through life very tough, then they encounter such condition. Even Alicia is the same, 16 years in depression before she has a condition to meet up with my nature. So a lot of you all, Kayamita, who have the same condition, you need certain condition to meet up with my nature and develop the affinity to continue with the cultivation or thing. So like Sui An, Mei Feng, they all, the affinity is different. You look at this like what they do, you will know. And like my children, how they have affinity with my wife and my nature is because of their past. So this life also, as children, they are so beautiful, so understanding, and they will continue to develop a lot of wholesomeness. So all this will multiply, they will evolve, and you will start to understand Dhamma is not just listening to the teaching, cultivate, become enlightened. No, he evolved a whole range of life experience, exposures, scope and understanding, which is very beautiful. So today I think you bring out a lot of condition for my nature to share all this, which I never shared before. This is the first time. So you go back and reflect every Kayamita will know how you come to know me, how you come to attend the class and all those things, how you benefited. This life alone, those conditions that manifest, you should thank your good karma, thank your good past and affinity, then thank your own understanding and diligence to make all this possible. Then this will pave the way for a lot of future things. You know, when you take the Bodhisattva vow, when you do your religious routine, when you cultivate sincerely with the Dhamma understanding, it is going to transform all of you in a very, very powerful way. And all this, I don't think Kayamita realized. That's why for those who have the understanding, my nature has a lot of joy, but I can see all this happening. And these are the causes and conditions that will give rise to future causes and conditions. Affinity with my nature, triple gem, cultivation, understanding, and the whole range of Dhamma activities. So very good. Sina, sadhu to you.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Brother Teo. So I'm also, before I end, I wish everyone stay safe,
have
a blissful day,
and
cultivate and practice diligently in the Dhamma.
Sadhu.
Thank you so much.
Hi. Thanks, Christina.
Sadhu.
Sorry
very
to
good sharing in that. You just. Yunchan sharing very good.
Yunchan also.
Yeah.
Created a lot of good condition for understanding. Yeah. So now your turn, Yunchan. Yeah. Sadhu.
Oh. I like to tell a story. Of a friend who got COVID.
Oh. Okay.
So she got infected and then was sent to the she was quite knocked out and she got to Sungai Buloh. They sent her off to Sungai Buloh and then she was suffering a bit, but she was a bit unconscious and she was not very clear of what was going on. I think she went all the way to stage 4. And then when she reached her 15 days days of
the infection. In ICU, huh?
And 15 days, they push her off, send her back home. So she won't infect people anymore. But she was still sick. She was still having pain and she was not well. So luckily she knew she had a monk who her master told her to ask for forgiveness, to chant forgiveness.
That one very important, yeah.
So every day, I think a few times a day, she was asking for forgiveness. Then, but she was still having all her pains. So she kept at it. And after 1 month, she said, the pain all disappeared.
Wow, sadhu. That's why we know how to break karmic obstruction. By asking for forgiveness is the best and the fastest way to break karmic obstruction. But you must do it sincerely with the faith and the understanding. That's why I always share with you all the three important understanding to break your karmic obstruction and to turn your life around.
Yeah, it confirms this case that really confirms what you've been teaching us.
Yeah, we are repentant and asking for forgiveness is the first activity that cultivator must do. Yeah, without breaking the karmic obstruction, a lot of karmic things will obstruct you. You cannot move. After you have done that, then you have to vow sincerely not to repeat all this again by following the advice of the Buddha to cultivate his advice to avoid all evil through keeping precepts. Then cultivate wholesomeness, meditate to purify the mind and develop heedfulness. Then after a period of time, you would have enough merits and wholesomeness to actually invoke the third condition. The third condition is to invoke power of merits for causes and conditions to turn around. For whatever uncomfortableness or pain or what, to go away so that you can gain back your life and continue with your maybe cultivation or life. So if you don't do that, you may not benefit that much. Then some people, they thought they recover already, then they become complacent, they go back to their old way. The second time they are hit is very difficult already. So if you know her, advise her to continue with the other two, vow not to repeat all this karmic thing. Then then seriously follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, keep precepts. Then develop wholesomeness, cultivate noble eightfold path, then meditate a bit to develop peacefulness of mind, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, awareness, and the basic Dhamma. Then after that, attend puja class, listen to Dhamma, develop the 10 meritorious action, make offering, and after that, share merit, transfer merit, and do all those things that we do following Buddhist activity. Then after that, evoke power of merit. Well, by then, after a few months, she would have her own virtue, merits, and wholesomeness. Then that power of merit can help her to develop a lot of good conditions. He can do ibina punyang kamina to avoid the foolish and the heedless, meet up with the wise so that enlightenment in the here and the now can be realized as soon as possible. So all these are possible. Okay, Yujan, very good. Sadhu.
Then she infected her sister.
Oh.
The but, sister also kena. Oh.
But the sister is a very kind-hearted person.
Ah,
so the sister didn't get it so badly.
Yeah. Because of
her virtue, her kindness.
So she had to go to the. She couldn't quarantine at home. Yeah. She was asked to go to the quarantine center. So she stayed there, and then she saw that the people eat and leave all their packaging and all the dirt behind. So she saw it so dirty, she went and cleaned up the place.
Yeah, tidy up the place. Yeah.
And the and then there were one or two other people residents there. I think some Malay women also praised her for keeping clean and also helped her to keep the place.
Good.
So the section was kept very clean.
Oh, sadhu. Yeah.
She didn't get it very badly. So she was she saw some patients who cannot speak Malay well and they can't eat the food that was provided because it's too hard. So she went and appealed for soft food for her, and then she went and so she was down there, she was helping the other people.
That's what I meant to be.
two different cases, two different experiences.
You can see their karmic background.
Mm.
How they live their life give rise to two different karmic conditions. One had to suffer through ICU knockout for 2 weeks or so. The other one developed very mild symptom, then develop antibodies and able to go to quarantine center to help out too, and didn't deteriorate until stage 4. Don't need to go to Sungai Buloh or something. So,
yeah, she was discharged
from the center. So you look at life, it's very, very interesting, so that you know the importance of taking care of karma, avoiding all evil, do good, developing wholesomeness, have goodness, have virtue. All this will come in handy to help you, to help make your life better. So for people who don't have the understanding of this Buddhist teaching, it's important that they listen to this and find out, investigate for themselves. Just be observant, then you understand. Through seeing all this, you will wake up. Like my elder brother, he saw the classmate at a very young age die of lung cancer and throat cancer because of smoking. Immediately after visiting him for 3 or 4 days at the hospital and saw him pass away, straight away from that moment onward, my brother gave up smoking. No need to call him anymore. Until today, he never touched a cigarette or a cigar or whatever. Never. Yeah, he like wake up and say, my life is more precious and more important. I have a family. I have my children. I have my duty. So he gave up. He was a heavy smoker since young day. And he just...
You have been in a bad state at this time in COVID.
Yeah, but...
He can continue smoking.
No, that was long time ago.
So,
when he was at the age of 30-something. Now my brother is 72, 73. He is elder than me by 6 years. So that happened about 40 years ago. So I saw him change. Before that, my father tried to ask him to quit. My mother tried to ask him to quit. He never quit. Hey, end up my father and him chain smoker. My father quit, but went back to smoke. After 3 attempts, he really gave up because he know it's not good. He end up smoking cigar. That was the best joke. Then I told my brother and sister, never mind. At his age, whatever he wants to do or smoke, let him do. Because he was very old already at that time, almost 70 plus to 80 years old. So I say, let him be. And I know for him, he really loves to smoke. So at least the cigar makes him feel good. Then I always tell him, want to go smoke cigar? Buy the good one. So I got one brother, one that inherited his medical shop business. He will always go and buy the good cigar. And my youngest brother also buy the good cigar for my father. And he is very happy. So all this, you can see, it manifests the Dhamma, karma, everything for you to see. Then if you are observant, you look around your own family members, your own brothers and sisters, even your own colleagues, your friends, neighbors, you know, everyone has their own life, their own coming background, their own condition. And if you are observant and mindful, you can see. Like all Kayamitas, every one of us are different. Some are very blessed, like Yun Chan. Yun Chan, you are really blessed. Your life is really beautiful. From the story you used to tell us, you have such a great mother-in-law that helped you to do everything. And you have such a great Raymond husband that love and care for you so much. And you have good family because you have a lot of people like this line. You have a lot of people. You did a lot of wholesomeness. And also, you were the main person behind getting my nature to come out to share. That's why all Kayamita will remember you and rejoice. And the Parami that arise through this condition that spin off into so much thing now with all the activity and the website over the past 16 to 17 years. You can see how it has flowered and become so beautiful. And you are the main one. Then after that came Mifong, Ingbi, Sian, they all, then now the others.
But it is so, your true Dharma teaching that attracted most of the people.
Yeah, also because of you, the condition arrived. Otherwise, if you don't make the request, if there is no such affinity, today we won't be having this Kayamita grouping.
Somebody else would have invited you out.
No. Must be you. Very strange. Well, that time I remember, after 1989, I didn't do anything until the year 2004. Then that day, very funny. I was telling my wife, I received the leaflet about the spiritual trip that you organized. I don't know it was you who organized. I just told my wife, I said, I have this feeling. I want to know what has happened to the Buddhist society and the Buddhist community after all this year. Well, I didn't go to Breakthrough after that. I seldom go, only once in a while. Then most of the time I cultivate at home and I do a lot of things only with people who come and see me. Then I decided to apply for that trip. Then what happened, you know? Well, initially all was full, where we were like new. Then you call me up and in a very nice way tell me very sorry, awful. I said, never mind, you put us on reserve this. If anybody withdraw, you can contact us. Then so happened, 2% withdraw. Then you say, because we are a couple, so you offered it to us and you call me. And I remember, because of that, you came and see me 3 times. Every time you come, you sit and we talk for almost 2-3 hours until almost midnight, until the first time Raymond call you to check out whether you are okay or not, and how come it takes so long. So all this, and you recall back, because my nature can see the causes and conditions and can understand how all these things unfold. Then when you came, I can feel something. The condition is there. It's like, you know, Pusien Pusa. You know, one of his great virtues is what? Be the first to invite the Samasambuddha to come out and share and teach. Oh. So for you, maybe not invite Samasambuddha, but to invite a true cultivator, which is really your parami, really, really. And you requested 3 times now. And 3 times, I say, never mind, no, later, wait for causes and conditions. Then after the 3rd time, deep inside my nature, after you left, told me, hey, about time for you to come out. You already ready so long. So this is the condition. That's after that I call you and set the condition. Then you agree. Then we all started the year tsunami that year, remember, 2004. Around November, December time.
After it is the same tsunami. Timing as Hui Neng, the sixth patriarch. He also was in hibernation for 15 years.
Yes, he was with the hunter, yeah, same. Actually, 15 years, 1989 to 2004, 15 years. Lilo, no need to do anything. Well, that nature, no, the condition hasn't arisen yet. It's only when the condition arrives that it will move. That's why cultivator and great beings, they will know all this. So it was very beautiful. Yeah. You look back, actually my nature, you look back. 1989, I was 35 years old, exactly like Sakyamuni when he awakened underneath the Bodhi tree. Then after that, for 15 years later, I stay low, lie low. Until the condition arise, then you came, then all this manifest. So it was really something you can find out for yourself. It's so amazing, so beautiful. And this is real life happening. It's not like I tell you a story, a fairy tale. you see it, like you just now mentioned, you like Hui Ning, lie low for 15 years. I think Hui Ning was 16 years with the hunters. Mine was exactly 15 years. So all these are beautiful. Ah, sadhu, Yen Chan. Thank you for your good sharing. Anything else about that friend of yours? Or you want to continue? We can take another few minutes.
Nothing. I think at this these two events affected me, I suppose.
Yeah.
Because I didn't expect COVID to hit people you know. It was somebody you don't know. You know, it's somebody
yeah,
else.
Yeah. So this one happened to be someone you really know.
So, oh dear, it's actually so close, getting so close to us already.
Yeah, it's actually very common. Because among our Alostar classmates, the website, a lot of their family members, the brothers, the parents, a lot. But so far, so good. Most of them recover. They try this ivermectin. They try that medicine. Because one of my classmates, the brother, is a Malay. So he tried this ivermectin and he keep on advocating, which is very good. I think now they allow.
They allow. You have to request.
Yeah, request for unlabeled medication. So all these are very wholesome, very meaningful, very beautiful. But like a lot of people now come to understand this pandemic really teach human being a very good lesson. And it's not something that you think our close friend or relative or somebody close to us won't contact, because that data variant, you remember the Indian variant, so contagious and it spreads so fast. No need to stay there also. It's like airborne and stay there for a few hours. So you just walk in, didn't have close contact anybody, come out. If inside there's one with the data variant, chances is you will kena. Then there was a group of people who went to a gathering, I think party, I don't know what, about 30 of them. Out of the 30, 23 contacted, because one of them got the data variant. And the 6 or 7 that didn't get was because they are vaccinated. You see, so terrible. The probability is so high, and most of them not vaccinated, they are high risk. That's why if you have the condition, you better make sure you get your COVID jab booking early. Then you can prepare for it, then have enough rest, then develop the what they call protection. Where this vaccination helps to prevent serious stage 4 and 5 so that you don't have to be admitted. Even if you cannot, it's just asymptomatic or low symptomatic.
Yeah. Not so serious.
Yeah, not serious. Not life-threatening. And the probability of it is very low. Very good. Sadhu, let us rejoice.
Sadhu.
Okay, now we will share merits. Then after that, I think we will end the whole thing. We are 10:40 already. Okay, thank you so much for the good sharing to Christina, Sister Yen Chan, and all the limiters.